loud in the congregation to be part of the service so that they could see the Holy Spirit moving amongst mommies and daddies and grandpas and grandmas and great grandpas and great grandpas and all the way back and even some forward. So once in a while, we're going to do that. I just feel prompted by the Holy Spirit to have the kids stay in here today. I think is vitally important. We're living in a dangerous, dangerous culture today. So if your child starts screeching, you're welcome to take him out. That's okay. All right? So, I mean, if it's a continuous screech. Like, not me. The kids. Okay. We had a terrific men's retreat yesterday. We had roughly, I think, 14, 15 guys show up yesterday. One lady. She didn't get the notice. She was Terry. She was helping. But you know something? That's part of ministry of Crossfire Assembly, too. We wanted to develop that. We had Joseph yesterday share testimony in a devotional, which was very challenging to the men. I know it was to me. And we want to continue that process going forward, should Jesus tarry, is to have in the men's part ministry, when you come, we want to have a man give a testimony and maybe a devotional, whatever they want to do. Maybe some Saturdays it'll be two guys the same. We don't know. But I believe that is a big help to hear testimonies, not just to come together and munch, but to get together and see what God has got on that person's life that is giving a devotion. And thank you, Joseph, for being willing to do that yesterday. It was a real blessing. And I know we just touched on a little bit with Jacob and Eric once time, too. But we'll have you guys back again, too. Because I love to hear where you guys come from and what God's doing in your life. And that's a great forum to do it when men come together. So I hope that's kind of a draw to when we have that. The guys say, I'm going to show up, see what God's got. Amen? Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we praise you. We thank you. We glorify you. We give you praise and glory and honor. We love you, Lord. You're a mighty, fantastic, wonderful, awesome, merciful, loving God. And Father, we praise you for that, Lord. We give you glory and we thank you for being here today. Let your anointing be upon this service, upon the people. Let it draw us together in unity also, Lord. But let it challenge us, your word, Father, as we go forth today. And Lord, give me help, Lord, to deliver it in such a way that people can receive it and understand it and want to walk it out also. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Take the name, but not in vain. Take the name, but not in vain. You know, there might be people going around and say that we're legalistic. Because I preach on subjects that sometimes step on toes. But we're not legalistic. Not at all. You know, here's why I say that. If you want to swear, go ahead and swear. If you want to drink, go ahead and drink. That'll be your business. I'm not saying don't do it. You can't do it. No. If you feel comfortable doing it and you want to do it, you will live out the result in your own life. But is what I want to speak on is because God's word, it never changes.
Amen.
It's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And I believe we're in a deal. Even young children today have got to hear the word of God because they're being taught other things in public schools that shouldn't be taught. And even you and I are in situations at work, school or whatever, and we're hearing things happen in our lives, and sometimes it impacts us, and we forget who we are too, don't we? And we need to be encouraged in that. So I wanted to speak on that today, that God's word is really his roadmap to heaven. He helps us. That's what it's about. So Exodus 20, verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Do you think that has changed?
No.
I don't. It's in the Old Testament, but it's God's word. And he said, we live by every word. And that word is still active today. But God's name, I hear it amongst Christian people in the business world that claim the name of Jesus. I get around them, and I'm hearing them use God's name in vain in speech. And I'm thinking, do they really have Jesus in their heart? Are they really born again? That they could take their Lord and Savior's name in vain? And listen, children, what I'm saying, God's name is not a swear word. I like how Finnis Dake put it in his commentary. This commandment is against all false swearing, blasphemy, and all profane, vain, trivial, light, irreverent use of God's name in ordinary life. Covers it all. But you know what's interesting, people? I think it's interesting that the pagans never used their small g God's name in vain, but yet God's name, the creator of the world, the savior of the world, his name is used in swear words every day of the week. Pagans won't do that with their gods, their small g gods. Isn't that interesting? But yet, we even as Christians will sit down, watch TV programs, and don't mind it one bit that God's name is repeatedly used over and over and over on television programs, on the internet, or even sitting there listening to maybe somebody tell a joke or even talk to you and using God's name in vain. I'm talking about the church in general now, amen? I'm not talking about you. Crossfire people are perfect. They're perfect, and hopefully they hear me. But you know something? It's a serious matter, people. And the culture has drowned out the Christian today. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Just think about that. His name is a strong tower. When you're going through whatever you're going through in life, you can run to him because his name is a strong tower and you can be safe. Why would we want to take that name in vain and use it in cursing, even trivial way? Why would we do that? Why would we do that when this name is so powerful? See, the declaration of God's name, one of God's most beautiful gifts to mankind, is the gift of language and ability to speak. Amen? Aren't you glad you can speak? Yes. It's one of the many things that distinguish man from animals, other than the donkey in Numbers chapter 28. Why are you beating me? He was able to speak. But you know something, that's what puts us different from the animal world too, the ability to speak. But as is true with every good gift God has given man, sin has found a way to abuse it and misuse it. Music, it's a gift from God, isn't it? But somehow Satan has come in there to use good for evil. Sex, it's another gift from above, beautiful in its proper bonds, but the devil has twisted it into awful ways for evil. And it's working very strong. The enemy is working full force in our society today, trying to convince our young people that homosexuality, transgenderism is all part of culture, and it's an evolving world, and it's okay. And not, you know, we're not the old people preaching an old word from an old book. It's all a lie. The internet, you know the one Al Gore created? Seriously, it's a powerful tool for good, and yet wickedness makes it its home there as well. And think about that. What a web we weave. Look at men and women that are caught up in pornography and all kinds of things through the internet. It's a gift that can be used for the glory of God to reach a lost and dying world. But the enemy has put in the hearts of man. And here's some chapters about how speech can be misused. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 13. It says, a talebearer reveals secret. A what? Reveals secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. Proverbs 16, verse 28. A forward man sows strife, and a whisperer separates chief friends. How are we using these lips? And later in the Ten Commandments, I want to talk a little bit about lying and bearing false witness. And as bad as these things are, there is a sin committed with the tongue that is far worse than any of the above, and that is using God's name in vain. Yes. I'm talking about using God's name in blasphemous ways, attaching D-A-M-N into it, after it, or saying Jesus Christ in a manner of cursing rather than speaking that beautiful name that it was intended to be. And then we'll make another connection with all other cursing. You want to put someone in their place kindly but effectively. I told you my experience, what I do when people are cursing and using God's name when I'm in their presence. I like to say praise the Lord when they say his name. Amen? I like to say praise the Lord. And they usually say, what are you saying that for? And that's when you come back and say, I love Jesus. Or whatever you want to feel the Lord leading you to say. Here another pastor did it this way. He was behind a man that was using Jesus' name in a wrong manner when he was upset because he was in a line in Walmart and it was really, really slow. So the pastor said out loud, it's not his fault, it's theirs, pointing at the register. And the guy says, yeah, you're right. See, the right use of his name is confined to that which is sacred and holy. And we do it in prayer, we do it in teaching, and we do it for worship and communion with God's saints. That's how his name is to be used. At that name, angels bow. Did you know that? That's how awesome this name is. At the name of Jesus, angels bow. Revelation 7:11. And all the angels stood around the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. And you know how many angels that was? 10,000 times 10,000 times tens of thousands of angels. And it says right here that all the angels fell upon their face and worshiped God at the name of Jesus. All the angels. And to think that puny little us can take that beautiful name and use it in a frivolous manner, even as Christians. When the angels respect and reverence so much that the multitudes fall before the throne upon their faces. And at the name of Jesus, demons tremble. Yes. James 2:19 says, thou believe that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. They tremble at the name of Jesus. They tremble at the name of Jesus. Even the atheist that does not believe, the demons do. And if you're in here this morning and say, well, I really just don't really have that deep of a faith. I tell you what, doesn't make any difference. The demons do. And they tremble at the name of Jesus because there's power in that name. And guess what? At the name of Jesus, the devil has to flee. James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. If you got the devil harassing you, you need to resist him. If you got the devil resisting you persistently, you need to resist him. Because if you have Jesus in you and you speak his name in that situation, that circumstance, the devil has to flee. He has to. Scripture told me he has to. And maybe you don't see it happening right away. Maybe you need to get in a warfare attitude and keep saying it until that devil is gone. Maybe you need to keep shouting and yelling if you have to. Get the devil out of your life in the name of Jesus. Resist him. Too many Christians just let him in because they get, what's the use? Kids, if you're watching TV programs and they're using Jesus' name or God's name in vain, that's wrong. It's a sin. And you need to turn it off. It'll destroy you.
That's right.
Did you hear that, children? Did you hear that? The devil wants to destroy you. And moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas have got to get radical in their homes and stop their kids from doing it. I know I'd get kicked out a lot of churches today, but that's okay. See, the name Trump, it may open a lot of doors in finances. Einstein may open doors of brilliance. Michelangelo may open doors of art, but the name of Jesus will open you the doors of heaven. I don't know, but I love Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm not ashamed to tell you that I'm radical for Jesus when I'm out in that world. I love him. I will not back away from speaking the name of Jesus because there's power in that name. Too many Christians are cowering under the culture, and who cares about the culture? We should be impacting the way we live our lives and how we speak his name. And when we do it in reverence and with great love. John 10:9 says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture.
Amen.
That's the name of Jesus. He said it right here. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you call up on the name and say, Jesus, forgive me a sinner. He says he'll save you. There's power in the name of Jesus. You can call up on Mohammed and you'll be talking to the ceiling. Your name will be splattered on a tile. That's how far it'll get. You can say to Mr. Hindui and it won't do you any goody. But when you say the name of Jesus, heaven opens up and God hears the prayer, the cry of a sinner that is a repentant heart, and he'll save you within a twinkling of an eye. He'll come into your life and forgive you. There's power in that name. See, we honor names of military generals like MacArthur and Patton and Schwarzkopf and others. We honor spiritual leaders like Billy Graham and Jerry Falwell, James Kennedy, Adrian Rogers, and I could go on and on and on. How much more should we honor the name of Almighty God? We should honor it. Every time you hear it in a curse word out in your world, in your families who are not saved, you need to speak up and say, that is a beautiful name. I love Jesus. I love my Lord. I love him. I praise his name. And it hurts me to hear you say that. I want you to know that. I'll tell you what, people, when you stand in boldness, Holy Ghost boldness, and stand for the word of God, and you speak it out of your heart, the world will sit back and take note. They may not like it, but they will listen. Amen?
Amen.
Psalms 8:1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent. How excellent. You know what that excellent means in Hebrew? Glorious. It means mighty, powerful, noble, worthy. That's what it means in Hebrew. How excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Think about that. That name. That name. Psalms 25:11. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. For thy name's sake. Psalms 111:9. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. That's why I don't want anybody calling me reverend. There's no man on earth that should be called reverend. Only Jesus. His name is reverend. That's his name. It says right there, I read it to you, holy and reverend. It is Jesus that is reverend. No man should be called reverend. Only Jesus. He's the only one that has the right to receive that name, reverend. You can call me Lynn. You can call me Pastor Lynn. Or you can call me Hey You.
I said that.
But you know, Jesus, when you and I talk about Jesus, don't do it frivolously. Don't do it frivolously. That name is powerful. And unless you and I speak it the way we're supposed to from the bottom of our hearts, if we are truly born again, it'll have impact on the hearer. I never joke about Jesus and his word. I never do that, people, honestly. I don't use jesting because of the power of his word in his name, for he is the word. It's for this reason I would not use the term reverend. Wouldn't even come close to it. The Bible says his name is due reverence. Certainly not me. Jesus' name is so holy and powerful in Philippians 2:10. It says, at the name of Jesus, every name should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Think about that. At the name of Jesus, when it's going to be spoken, every knee will drop, whether they want to or not. Every knee is going to drop before that mighty name at the name of Jesus. Angels will drop to their knees. Demons will drop to their knees. Every sinner in the world will drop to their knees. Every Christian will drop to their knees at the name of Jesus. Think about that. Think of the power in that name. Think of that, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. We need to be reminded of the mindset of the Orthodox Jew in Bible days concerning the name of God, as well as many Bible translators for century AD before the invention of the printing press. When these scribes would copy the word of God, every time they would encounter a name of God, they would rise from their table, go and wash, and often change their clothes, pick up a new quill never used before, and then proceed to write the name of God. Amen. They took it seriously. I want you to get it in your spirit today. Children, growing children, I want us to get it into our spirit what a mighty God we serve. Yes. Amen. See, he's in here today. Yes. And I'll tell you what. Some of you would, if not all of us, would begin to weep if you walked in here public, where we could literally, physically see him right now, and you would see that mighty God. Because in that name is everything that you have need of in life. Every fear you have would dissipate as soon as he showed. And it does today. If you're walking in fear today, you need to speak the name of Jesus. And the devils will flee. That spirit of fear will flee. See, this they would do every time, sometimes up to three times in a single verse, these scribes would do that. Just think about that. How reverent they were to God's name. That's how respected and revered the name of God used to be. What a terrible thing it is to ever drag his beautiful name through the mire today. But yet God's people, even in evangelical churches across our nation, will use his name and improperly even in services today. And to think how powerful and how majestic that name is. See, names are very significant. The Bible says that a good name is better than great riches. Let me rattle off some names and you call out the first thing that comes to your mind, okay? Judas. Thomas. Hitler. George Washington. Boy, you folks are good. I mean, here I thought I was going to trap everybody and be quiet and no answers, and they just kept coming at me. That's good. In the days of the outhouse, a teen boy thought it would be fun to tip one over, roll it down a hill. His dad later came to him and asked him if he had done that. He thought about lying and denying, but he decided to do the right thing, and so he admitted it. But his dad said he had to whip him for it. I remember those days. Oh, Dad, but I told you the truth, just like George Washington told the truth when he chopped down the cherry tree and he didn't get a whipping. his dad replied. The difference is, George's dad wasn't in the cherry tree. It's good to have a little laughter when I'm getting so serious, isn't it? What do you think about when you hear the name of God? The Bible has over 300 names of God. That's because it's impossible to capture. Just think about it. It's impossible to capture the full character of God with one name. And I preached a sermon a few weeks ago on the names of God. I think there might even be a list back there. I'm not going to elaborate. Don't even turn to the scripture. I'll just rattle them off quickly. Genesis 22, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Yes. Ezekiel 48, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Yes. Jeremiah 23, Jehovah Sidon, the Lord our righteousness. Yes. Exodus 6, El Shaddai, the Lord is sufficient. Exodus 15, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Yes. Exodus 17, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our victory. Judges 6, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Genesis 14, Jehovah Elim, the Most High God. Boy, I could keep going on. I tell you, I get excited when I can just keep saying his name like that. Matthew 1, Jesus, there's just something about that name. Read the book of Matthew 2, chapter 1. See, Jesus is the veracity of truth, the verity of love, the victory of grace, and he's the visibility of God. That's who Jesus is. It's honey to the taste, harmony to the ear, and healing to the soul. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste him. Taste the name of Jesus. And people, once the Christian church gets serious about the power in the name of Jesus, we'll have a powerful church because we've walked away from that name. We've walked away from it, more willing to tickle and make people feel comfortable rather than tell them about the name, who is a name, has a power to change their life for all eternity. Christ, he is the messianic name. He is the Christ, and that is the name we wear as Christians. Did you know that? And by the way, Christian means Christ-like ones. I ask a brother in the Lord he says he was, and I got to take his word at it, I guess. He was using foul language. And I simply said to him, I said, are you a Christian? And he said, yes, I am. I said, then as a Christian, why are you using foul language? I used to use foul language, believe me. My parents even told me they're embarrassed to have me come home. But Jesus, he saved me. He changed me. And I don't do it anymore. Not because I'm good and wonderful and spiritually awesome. I don't do it because Jesus, the name of Jesus came into my heart and he changed me and I don't need to do it anymore. See, to have the name of Jesus is a special privilege, but it's an awesome responsibility too. Exodus 27, verses 7 again. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. See, we live today in the midst of most cursing generations of all human history. We've been hearing it plastered over our televisions during our election cycle this year. Vile words are regularly added to a magnanimous list of things you can say, but you shouldn't say them. Most people, even many Christians, don't think twice about using the words D-A-M or H-E-L-L. They don't even think twice about it in a frivolous way. James 1:26 says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Now, God said that, I didn't. James 3:10, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. We shouldn't be doing it. If you have Jesus seriously in your heart, and I understand that we grow in the Lord, and I know that we're imperfect vessels. That's no excuse. And sometimes we may lose it. But I always need the Holy Spirit to gently remind me. Amen. Atheists say hell all the time and would claim not to be even believe in it. But they use it all the time. And some have been saved from it, and yet they'll still say it. That's what amazes me. What a mockery. What a sad revelation of how worldly many Christians are today. And that's why I preach on this type of stuff, people. Whether we like it or not, I don't really care, because Jesus Christ is coming back to earth and the church has gone the other direction, and we need to come back. We need to repent as the body of Christ, because it's become so worldly. That's why the world is crowding into a lot of them, because there's no conviction anymore. Because we quit preaching on holiness and righteousness and the things that Jesus said that we need to be in order to stand before him in heaven. Let me ask you a question. Would you use God's name in vain? Would you say hell and the other word in front of Jesus in heaven? I don't believe anybody would. So why do we do it here? He hears it too. He hears all, he sees all. Then there's some that use that F-bomb word, the one of the filthiest things you can say, and so considered the most powerful and the most used by the scum of society. Even the vice president, the former vice president of our country, used it when the health care program was passed. Is that leadership? Some say it so much in all situations, they don't even know they're saying it anymore. And I've been in, when I used to call on certain industry, I'd go into places and they'd use such filthy words. And a lot of times I sit there, man, how can they talk to, I wonder if they talk like that before their wives and their kids. It was so filthy, I couldn't believe it. They had to call on some of them and say, hey, I appreciate if you quit using that kind of language. Others think they're adding emphasis by using it. Tough! Well, if I put out a few curse words with my speech, people are going to take notice. But I say, if what you are saying is so weak that you need to add such a word, you should revisit your real point and try to strengthen it in other ways. Amen? The A word is now commonly accepted as regular prime TV, but it's best describes a person who would stoop to use it. The S word is not far behind and further reveals what a potty mouth one is when they say it. Rap music is full of all the above and so much more. Terms derogatory to women or racial slurs. The average R-rated movie is foul language every 32 seconds, and our children sit there even in Christian homes and watch these things. And then we wonder why kids are leaving the church. We wonder why kids aren't standing up and witnessing for Jesus, because they've been indoctrinated by filthy television programs. And we let our kids do it because we want little Johnny and Susie. Oh, if I take them away, they'll get all so upset. One, two, three. That's the way I handle things. I give them the Board of Education on the seat of understanding. Right, Amy? Look at her. She's still healthy.
Didn't kill her.
But you know, sadly, seriously, people, our young Christian children are even falling away from Jesus, and they're believing what the college professors are telling them today and listening to them. And that's why foul words are used everywhere, even within the church, even within our young people. And it's got to change. It's got to change. We have a Lord that is coming back that has such a magnificent name, and we're using it wrongly. And we use it wrongly, and even in our speech. And it starts with you and I. If we hear young children in our homes or wherever, we need to stand up and not be boastful and ornery and mean-like, but just simply let them know that that's not right to do that. Jesus hears you. I'm almost done. Isn't that nice? PG-13 and most sitcoms average one every minute or two. And again, we allow it in our homes, people. Our kids don't have to hear it from us. If they hear it from the TV, it makes us look good. Oh, we don't use that kind of language. But yet we allow people to do it. our kids hear it. Cursing used to be considered man language. And you'd hear someone say, "Watch your language, there's ladies present." I remember that growing up. But it's not just a man problem anymore, is it, ladies? Young girls not far detached from their dollies are saying things today that would make a sailor blush. As bad as all this is, the most vulgar thing you can do is to speak that lovely name of God in vain. And if we took that more seriously, we would also think twice before saying other curse words too. When we curse, we reveal four things about our character. A lack of character. The Bible says our mouths speak what is abundant in our heart. What's down in the well comes up in the bucket, people. And you can tell what a person is by what that person says. A great preacher of yesterday, Sam Jones, said, "When I get around a man who swears, I watch my pocketbook, for any man who would swear would surely steal." And then there's lack of intelligence. When you have to use profanity to get your point across, you're revealing an empty head and a wicked heart. Profanity is the attempt of a feeble mind to express itself forcibly. And then, thirdly, lack of understanding. Think about how foolish it is to use a curse word. What does it get you and I? Where does it get us? Nowhere. With most sins, you at least get something in return. Even pleasure for a short season. Stealing is wrong, but at least you get something. I'm not justifying sin in any way, believe me. I'm just making a point. And you have a flat tire and you curse. Did that put air into the tire by cursing? No, it doesn't. Now, if the hot air is coming out of your mouth, it could go into the tire. Can cursing unstub your toe? Make your golf ball move from rough to the fairway? Fix your broken window? When you think about it in those terms, it's really ridiculous, isn't it, when you swear? Does absolutely no good. Why do we earn? What do we earn by cursing? You know what the thing we earn in reality, and this is what you and I were called out to go, is to preach the gospel. We earn judgment. We earn judgment from God. Verse 7 says, "The Lord will not hold him guiltless." Listen to what it says in Leviticus 24:16. "And he that blasphemed the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well as the stranger, as he that is born in the land. When he blasphemed the name of the Lord shall be put to death." Leviticus 24:23. "Look," Moses said, "and Moses spake to the children of Israel, that they should bring forth him that had cursed out of the camp and stone him with stones. And the children of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses." That's what happened when you take the name of the Lord in vain, because it was so reverend. So reverend. Fourthly, lack of reverence and respect. A person takes God's name in vain and says, "Sorry, I didn't mean that." I hear that all the time. That's like saying God is meaningless to me. I can use his name and not even mean it. That's what they're saying. Well, that's not exactly what the word vain means, in vain. It means empty or meaningless when we use his name that way. I personally believe using OMG, plastered all over Facebook, Twitter, anybody and everybody uses it. You can go into any evangelical Christian chat line and you'll see OMG plastered all over, just like in the world. It's a lack of reverence to God and a lack of respect to any others around us. I don't like euphemisms for the same reason, like, for example, "gosh darn it," "what the heck." You ever hear those? "Golly," that's God. "Geez," that's Jesus. We don't understand those things, and I'm not trying to get legalistic in them. I just want them to, the Holy Spirit to bring to your attention during the week and how we speak our words out to people around, because they have impact. And especially when it comes to the name of Jesus and how it's being used. I ask people not to curse if they're in my home and around my family, and most everyone respects it. I had an insurance man come into my home, and he wanted to sell me insurance, and the first thing that came out of his mouth was my Lord and Savior's name. He did it two or three times in a row while he was trying to sell me insurance. Well, I knew that wasn't going to last long. And I simply said to him, I said, stop right there. He said, what? I said, I would really appreciate it if you would not use the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in vain in my home. He didn't from that point after. I said, I love the Lord. I live for the Lord. I'm no better than you are. But I said, I don't want to hear his name used like that. And that man, he's still my insurance agent today. He never uses that name around me when I'm visiting or whatever. And that isn't because how great and wonderful I am. It's because I reverend that name. Believe me, I seriously am really super close to being done now. See, I don't think we as Christians should overlook cursing like that. I don't think we should overlook it anymore. That's why the world's doing it around us. That's why people do it in our homes, because we overlook it. We need to get Holy Ghost boldness and do it in a loving manner and counteract it. That's what makes us salt and light in a dark world. Proverbs 21:23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. On a windswept hill in English country churchyard stands a drab, gray slate tombstone. The quaint stone bears an epitaph, not easily seen unless you stoop over and look closely. The faint etching reads, beneath this stone, a lump of clay, lies Arabella Young, who on the 24th of May began to hold her tongue. That's when it's done, people. We don't want to wait until it's too late before we begin to control our tongues. And that can happen at any moment. Did you know people drop dead within an instant every single day? Young and old children, even young children in schools, wherever. They either get killed or have accidents or just drop dead. I'm going to finish with this. When Salvation Army founder William Booth was dying, there were some legal matters to tend to. The lawyer said to Mrs. Booth, if you can get him to sign these papers, the will be executed much more smoothly. The problem was that he was drifting in and out of consciousness and often delirious, but they were able to wake him long enough to try to get the signature. Miraculously, he was able to grasp a pen and begin signing. Through scribbled somewhat roughly, the lawyer said it was good enough. Then he died. Later examination revealed that on every one of those papers, the signature was different than his known inscription. Matter of fact, it was not even his name. On every line he wrote, Jesus. The only name on his mind when he was dying was Jesus. Jesus. And it should be our most respected name in all of our living moments. Gentlemen, you may pass out for communion. As we begin to take communion, the scripture teaches us to search out our own hearts before we take it. And if there's something in your heart that you've been rebellious against God or living in sin or whatever the case may be, and the Holy Spirit is bringing that to your heart right now, you need to get that right with the Lord before you partake and ask His forgiveness. You need to just let the Holy Spirit do a work in your heart right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. I know I spoke another probably serious message, but you know something? The hour's late, people. Jesus is getting ready to come back. I want people born again. I want them saved. And I'm scared that much of the church has lost that desire because they've merged in with the culture so much that they have no impact and maybe don't even care because we don't think about the holiness of God anymore and we don't think about that powerful name and what he did for us on Calvary's cross. We just go around saying, I'm a Christian. But Jesus, when he hung on the cross, suffering and dying, taking our sin upon him, he was looking at you and I because he knew it was important. To make it possible for you and I to come and live there one day. And he made that invitation to us from the cross. Holy Spirit, just move upon our hearts. Holy Spirit, just help us to fall in love with Jesus. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit open the ears of the young children in here today. They may not understand everything I said, but I know that you, Lord, the Holy Spirit, can bring the truth into their hearts. Let's all take the bread. The bread here is a symbol of Jesus' body, and as this bread is broken, so his body was marred and striped. It says in Isaiah 53:5 and 1 Peter 2:24 that by his stripes that we were and that we are healed. And as we partake again, even though we prayed already, remember now if you have a need in your body, that as you partake of this, thank the Lord in advance for let that healing manifest in you. Let it manifest in you. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 32, through 32, starting with verse 23 and 24, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. And then he said, this do in remembrance of me. Let's all partake. Jesus, we thank you for what you did on the cross for us. We thank you for taking our beating. We thank you for taking the stripes that we deserved. And we remember you every day, Lord, every moment. It was you, Jesus. Taking the cup, which is a symbol of his blood, which was shed for the many, for the remission of sins. It says in verse 25, In verse 26, after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." And then he finishes saying, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Let's all partake. Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on Calvary's cross. Lord, help us through the Holy Spirit never to forget, but always to remember, to teach our children from generations to generations that it was you, Jesus, it was that powerful name of Jesus that could have taken himself off the cross. But you stayed there, Lord. And as your blood flowed from your veins, that was the very blood that was going to wash us clean of our sins once we come to you and repent and ask for forgiveness. We receive that. And we remember that, Lord Jesus. Let's all stand, please. Is there anybody in here this morning you walked in and say, I want to submit my life to this beautiful Jesus? That if I died right now, I don't know if I would go to be with the Lord. If you're in here, I want you to come forward because I want, you know, don't worry about what others think. Other people aren't going to get you and I to heaven. They're not. It's only your willingness to accept. If the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart right now, Jesus said, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are none righteous, no, not one. And the wages of sin is death, separation from God for all eternity." But Jesus made a way through Calvary's cross. And all he does is "Call upon me." Is there anybody in here this morning that would say, "I need to get right with Jesus"? With all heads bowed, is there anybody in here? My hand's already up. Look at me now. Is my hand up in the air? All right, I just want to make sure you all knew that. All heads bowed again. Is there anybody in here and says, "Pastor, I need to ask the Lord to really help me watch my tongue"? Put your hand way up. Come on, the Holy Ghost already knows. I've been frivolous in my walk with the Lord, and I need the Holy Spirit to really speak to my heart right now. Heavenly Father, you see all these hands here this morning. And Lord, I pray, Father, not here to judge anyone or to condemn anyone, because you're not. But Lord, you're here to forgive everyone. So Lord, I would ask, even in my own life, if I've frivolously used your name in wrong ways or even used cursing when I didn't need to, Lord, I ask you to please forgive me. That the blood of Jesus wash me clean from all my past. But Lord, going forward, I would pray for this congregation as well as myself, that you would help us through the Holy Spirit to speak words of truth, to speak words of reverence when it comes to your name, to watch our language with other all, because when we swear like the world and we claim Jesus, we're just like the world. We're not like Jesus. And Lord, I pray you help us to be people of God. Lord, that we again will be salt and light in a dark world. That we will not judge others for it, but we will warn people of their sin. And tell them that there's a merciful Jesus that died on the cross that will forgive and forget. So now, Lord, I pray as the Holy Spirit will do the work we ask you to do, Lord, in our lives, to help us to be more like Jesus. I pray you touch each home, bless them financially, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, in every area, in every need that is by the people within this body, Father, that have deep needs, deep concerns and issues. Lord, we give them to that mighty name of Jesus. We cast all of our care upon you, for you care for all of us, Father. I pluralize that, Father, but we thank you, Lord, for being such a merciful, graceful God. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody tell somebody, "I'm excited about Jesus." Tell him there's points when I'd like to hit that preacher, but I'm going to pray for him instead.
You're the shelter for my soul. You're the healer when I'm broken, grace that makes me whole.
Trust in you alone, in the power of the try.